In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We are on Luisa and the Mediatrics of All Divine Life, Part 2. We're on page 4, the top of the page, volume 27. 11:14-19:29. Jesus says to Luisa, "Now, my daughter, you are the one who lives in my divine will. And therefore, you possesses the right of her creation. And therefore, more than son, you, Luisa, lives in the unity of her creator. You, Luisa, are the reproducer of the effects of the divine unity." This is so astonishing, what Jesus is saying to Luisa, that it's going to be difficult to understand until we see Luisa. And then Jesus says, when we see Luisa, it'll shake the earth. And the earth will then begin to understand what it means to live in the divine will. We're going to see this newborn, this firstborn, that has more than Adam. When Adam fell, it took, really, 4,000 years for Jesus, and then 2,000 years later after Jesus, what came to the earth is a new beginning. Okay, so it's a new beginning, and most people will not be able to understand this. Okay, so Luis is the one who lives in the divine will. Luis is the one who possesses the rights of her creation. Luisa, more than son, Luisa lives in the unity of her God. Luisa is the reproducer of the effects of divine unity. So what God gave to Adam, this preternatural life, he says, if Adam didn't sin, I would have taught him the book of heaven. So what Luisa possesses is more than what Adam received. Now think about that. Adam received the preternatural life. When God breathed into this dust, the image and likeness of God came out of this dust. Luisa has more than this. See, Jesus taught Luisa for those 64 years, taught Luisa to begin to breathe in and write down word for word of what Jesus says of how to live in the divine will. The how and the why is found in the book of heaven. So when you think of this, Luisa, who lives in the divine will, possesses the right of creation. Luisa, more than the sun and the sky, Luisa lives in the unity of her God. Luisa is the reproducer of all the effects of divine unity. What does this mean? This image and likeness of God that she possesses this was supposed to be given to all mankind. You are supposed to have this. I'm supposed to have this. But we don't because of original sin. God waited 6,000 years, basically, to finally find Luisa. And what we know is Jesus says, when these writings come out, when the book of heaven is revealed, when these writings come out, what does that mean? It's a new beginning for mankind, a new beginning. It's not to be holy and good and saintly, begin to live a life that is mere reflection of God, image and likeness of God. This is what God is doing. Could you clean that off over there? Thank you. So, what does this say to us? It says to us that this is the gift of gifts. This is the prodigy of prodigies. This is what God wanted from the beginning. And most people don't care about it. Most people don't care about this at all. It's secondary to them. It's meaningless to them. And for us, it has to become our everything. And if you read today in the calendar, the very first reading for January 18, you will find the depth of what God wants for His church. And it's more than being good and holy and saintly. It's to enter into the image and likeness of God, to begin to live the fullness, this abundant life that God wants. So our Lord is looking at us, because He can't find anybody else who's reading. And He's depending, He's saying, I'm giving you the opportunity to be one with Louisa, to bring this kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. It must begin in you. It has to begin in you. So what the Lord is waiting for is He's waiting for someone to begin to live this. And as we know, Jesus says, when I find the souls that want this, I will give it to the earth. He hasn't found anybody yet. So therefore, we are lacking in what God wants from us. We are not possessing this gift that our God wants us to possess. And what is the gift? Is what He gave to Louisa. More than son, you possess the rights of creation. You live in the unity of God, to be the reproducer of the effects of divine unity. Okay, what's divine unity? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To reproduce divine unity, to reproduce within us this abundant life of God. Now, that doesn't mean we become God, but it's up to us, 30, 60, or 100-fold. How much do we want this? How much do we really believe in it? And if we really believe in it, then we make this our everything. A lot of people go to Holy Mass and they show up for Mass late and they leave early. You know, they're not getting the effects of what God wants. What is God asking of us? When we begin in the morning with our prevenient act, when throughout the day we are doing our actual acts, but at the same time to eat of this first bread, to eat this food of divine life that God fed Louisa with. Where do we find that? It's in the Book of Heaven. As we read this, as we study this throughout the day, it becomes our everything. This is what God is waiting for. This is what God wants. So He says, this divine unity that Louisa gathers is everything. This divine unity that Louisa gathers embraces everyone. This divine unity that Louisa gathers warms everyone. This divine unity that Louisa gathers, with the breath of the divine unity she produces in the hearts of all souls, past, present, and future, all the effects that are present in the kingdom of grace. Who's doing this? It's Louisa. And Jesus is saying to us, if you want to participate in this life, Jesus says, you're going to have to begin to live this life the way Louisa lived it. It became her everything. It became everything for her. And most people today make the divine will a devotional thing. Well, I got the readings in, now I can do what I want. No. The divine will is to enter into this divine unity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to enter into this life. Why? To produce in the hearts of all souls, past, present, and future, what Jesus and Mary have done. It's not, again, it's good and holy and saintly is easy. Compared to living in the divine will, it's to give up everything so that Jesus is there, to give up everything so that Mary is there. But it has to be through Louisa. She's the one that possesses this gift. So Jesus says, but while more than son, Louisa plays in touching everything, and with her touches, Louisa gives divine sanctity. Louisa gives divine virtue. Louisa gives divine love. Louisa gives divine sweetness that are all divine. Louisa would want to enclose everyone in the unity of her God. Everyone into the unity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. See, this is This is the drop of water that the priest puts into the cup filled with wine every day at Holy Mass to share in divinity. It's really, to be good and holy and saintly is what we have learned to this point through the saints. You read the lives of the saints, how beautiful, how holy, how saintly, how good. But it's not divine. Jesus now wants more. And he says to us, he's predestined us to live at this time. He's predestined us to have the book of heaven. He's predestined us, I mean, even this year, to read every day the calendar, every single day. And anybody and everybody can do this, so that basically you read all 35 volumes and then you have one volume left over. So when you have a day in the divine will that doesn't have many readings, you begin volume one. And then by the end of the year, you will have read all 36 volumes. This is what God is waiting for. Where did Louisa get this? How did Louisa have this? The how is in the book of heaven. We're going to learn this. We're going to live this. This is what God is expecting of us. He says, I'm waiting for the souls who must live in the divine will. That's us. It's not your family. It's not your friends. It's not your neighbors. It's not your coworkers. It's not even your parishioners. They don't want this. They want to do minimal Catholics. God wants us to have everything. So he's asking us, he's pleading with us, how much do you want this gift? How much do you want this gift? And we are the ones that have to say to Jesus, I want everything. So what he says to Louisa here, this is what God is expecting us. The one who lives in the divine will possess the rights of her creation. Therefore, more than son, the one who lives in the divine will lives in the unity of her creator. She will be the reproducer of the effects of divine unity. That's what God is expecting of us. In this unity, you will gather everything, embrace everyone, warm everyone with the breath of the divine unity. You will produce in the hearts of all souls all the effects that are present in the kingdom of grace. Jesus is waiting for us to say, yes, I want this. It's not just something that you read. He is expecting us to respond to him. Do you want this? But more than son, we will play in touching everything with the touches. We give sanctity, virtue, love, sweetness that are all divine. We are called to enclose everyone in the unity of our God. See, this is why this is not devotional. This is not following a founder of a community or a founder of a religious organization. It's to become in God's image and likeness, to become like God. It doesn't mean you're going to be God, but this is what the image and likeness of God is all about. This is what God breathed into dust. What came out of the dust was God's image and likeness. And then Adam lost it. So what has happened for 4,000 years? We read the Old Testament. For the last 2,000 years, we've read the New Testament, and nothing has been lost from the Old Testament. It's the fulfillment. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Now, he gives us the gospel of the kingdom. And what he's expecting of us is to live this more than what the good men and good women of the Old Testament lived with the Old Testament, more than what the saints did by living the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now Jesus is expecting us to begin to live the life that God originally wanted for Adam. This is what we're reading. Adam did not have this. What God is teaching Louisa here, Adam did not have. He lived in the divine will, but he gave it to no one. He didn't give it to his children. His first son killed the next. He didn't give it to Eve. She lost it. This is what God gave to Louisa, that with her touches, with Luisa Picaretta. And this is why it's important that we know Luisa to receive divine sanctity, divine virtue, divine love, divine sweetness. So, most people are not going to even get close to this until they see Luisa. And when they see Luisa, they're going to see what a human possesses living in God's image and likeness. This is what's going to shake the earth. That's what Jesus says. We will begin to understand what it means to live in the divine will. God is now offering this gift that he gave to Luisa to us. And he's asking us to read this, to study this, to put this into practice. So that means the divine will has to become our everything. It's not just something that we do. It has to become our everything. We have to seek what God is saying to us. Search what God is saying to us. You know, if a word pops out and it seems to be important, Jesus is telling us something. He's asking us, this is what I want for you. And then we have a responsibility and a duty to find what that word means. The Word of God gives us these words. So in going through the volumes, we begin to put together this like a document on that word. What does Jesus want me to know about this? Because as you live in this life, this word, what will happen is others will begin to possess it. Why? He's found somebody with one word. He's looking at someone. He's looking at us. Do you understand this one word? If you can live it, if you can possess it, I will give it to others. And see, there's so much that God is expecting of us. And, you know, like I've always said, what do you know in volume 27? That you love of what Jesus says. This has to become our life. Volume 27, 11, 20, 19, 29. Now, for you, Luisa, also I, God, was to maintain divine order. And even though our primary purpose was to make known to you, Luisa, our most holy divine will, that the most holy divine will might reign in you like king in his royal palace, and as it would give you, Luisa, its divine lessons, you, Luisa, might be the herald in making the divine will known to others. Yet, like in creation, it was necessary to prepare the heaven of your soul, studded it with stars through the many sayings of the beautiful virtues that I, God, have manifested to you. So here, Jesus is showing us what he wants to do with us. Now, for you, Luisa, I was to maintain divine order. Okay, God is in charge. God has this perfectly planned. Even though our primary purpose was to make known to you our divine will, why? To make it reign in you like king in his royal palace, it would give you, Luisa, in this book of heaven, divine lessons, that you, Luisa, might be the herald in making the divine will known to others. What Luisa has put down on paper is now given to us. Yet, like in creation, it was necessary to prepare the heaven of your soul, studying it with stars through the many sayings, the many words of Jesus, the beautiful virtues that I, God, have manifested to you. So God says this to us. He's going to maintain divine order. It's the Lord who's doing this, not us. The primary purpose was to make known to each and every one of us the divine will. Why? To make the divine will reign in us like a king in his royal palace. See, we're inviting God to sit on his royal throne in our heart, in our mind, in our soul. We want Jesus to be the Lord of our life. For every thought, every word, every deed. Why? The divine lessons that will make us heralds in making this known to others. Now, it doesn't mean that our job is to talk about the divine will. That's not what it's about. It's to live in the divine will. By each person trying to live in the divine will, this light is given to other souls. This life is given to other souls. This love is given to other souls. And more than likely, it's not your family. It's somebody in China. It's somebody in India. It's somebody on the other side of the world. God, you have to remember, God is maintaining a divine order. He knows who He is calling by our living in the divine will, by our striving to live in the divine will. How do you live in the divine will? By making the divine will reign in us like the king in his royal palace. We recognize Jesus. Jesus, gaze in my gazing. Jesus, listen in my listening. Jesus, walk in my walking. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. We want Jesus to be the Lord, the King, the Master of our life. This is what Jesus is saying. He says, yet, and this is where God is right now. Like in creation, it was necessary to prepare the heaven of your soul. So what is God doing? He's stripping us of everything. He has to. Because so many things of the earth are important to us. He's got to take those away from us. And he's got to replace it with a divine attitude, divine things. This is studying it with stars, with many sayings of what? Of what Jesus said to Louisa. Like I said, what do you know set your heart on fire? What do you read that makes you want to possess this more than anything? He says very clearly, of the beautiful virtues, the beautiful sayings that God is manifesting to us. This is what Jesus says. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will reveal to you all truths. He will remind you of everything that I have said. That's the treasures that Louisa possesses, that Louisa put down on paper. As you read this, Jesus says, I will stand right beside you. I will touch your mind so that you'll understand it. And I'll touch your heart so that you will love it. Jesus is there. And it's not just something to read. It's to enter into dialogue with Jesus. You've done this with Louisa. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you. I bless you. I adore you for what you have done with little Louisa. But you want to give this to me. Lord, help me to enter into this life, this abundant life that little Louisa possesses. She possesses the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. This is not just in God's image through holy baptism, but what Louisa possesses is the likeness of God. And that's what we read in the previous paragraph. Our Lord wants us to enter into this abundant life. It's, and he's waiting for us to enter into it. We have to let go of the things of this life and enter into that which is divine. And like I mentioned that before, it's like we are living in the third dimension. The saints lived in the fourth dimension by prayer, fasting, mortification, penances. You look at the life of Francis. He starved himself to death. His bones were completely malnourished. He starved himself. He entered into such union with God that he received the stigmata. But Jesus says, I want you to enter into another dimension, a fifth dimension, if you want to say. Again, that's not, none of that's theologically correct. There's no second, third, or fourth. But it's spiritually, you have to understand that the saints did not understand what God gave to Louisa. They were doing the will of God. What Jesus is asking of Louisa is living in the will of God that only four people ever did. Adam, and he fell. Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, and Louisa. Four people lived in the divine will. And now Jesus is saying to us, are you willing to let go of everything, even holy things, to enter into the divine? We have to understand that what God is giving to us goes light years beyond what the saints have been teaching us. This is to really begin to live a life of faith, believing what Jesus said to Louisa, embracing what Jesus said to Louisa, and then beginning to live what Jesus said to Louisa. He did not say this to the saints. And we have this limitation of saying, well, I know what the saints have done and I like it and I want it. God says, fine. If that's what you want, I will give that to you. We have to get to the point where we say to Jesus, I want the divine will. I don't know how this is going to happen. No one can explain it to me but you, Lord. Let it be done, as you say. And then enter into this gift. It goes way, way beyond what the saints have done. This is why he says, I'm now going to prepare the heaven of your soul. God is going to change us. He's going to transmute us to his image and likeness. And our souls aren't ready for this if we're only focused on the things that are saintly, good, and holy. Our souls have to let go of that which is saintly, good, and holy, which is comfortable, and begin to read with such depth, with such clarity of what Jesus is saying to us, that we will allow him to touch our minds to understand this and touch our hearts to love it. This has to become our everything. Jesus is speaking to us. The Word of God dictated these words. These words, Jesus says, each word is a divine life, an infinite life. There's no end to the word that Jesus speaks. And so he's asking us, are you willing to enter into this life that no one knows about except Louisa? Jesus knows it. It's his life. Mary knows it. It's her life. The only one that knows anything about this is Louisa. She's the only human that we can trust. Jesus is the Son of God. Mary's the Mother of God. Theotokos. Louisa is the human born of original sin that Jesus says, this is the one you go to begin to live this abundant life. Again, it's very, very clear. So he says, I, God, had to descend to the low level of your human will in order to empty it. That's what God is doing. He's emptying it of all that is of no value. I mean, we think that, you know, a lot of the things that we're doing are important. Our Lady even said that. She said that many people are going doing good things. Few are doing the essential. This is the essential. Jesus descends into our human will to empty it, to purify it, to embellish it, to reorder it in everything. Okay, that means everything. Every thought, every word, every deed. That means even in science, what we know scientifically, God wants to purify that. You know, what does Scripture say? The wisdom of man is mere foolishness to God. We have to say to Jesus, begin to teach me. Begin to empty me of everything that is not divine will. Recreate in me everything that you wanted Adam to possess. Give to me what you gave to Louisa. I want this life because you, Jesus, want me to have this life. And again, the only one that can interfere with us is ourself. We're the only ones that can limit God. We limit God with our doubt. We limit God with our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, our sin. We limit God. When God says this, we go, ah, it's not for me. And God says, that's right. It is not for you. You have set up a barrier. I cannot give this to you. See, God looks for the fiat. Our Lady was fiat. She says, how can this be? How can I do this to please God when the angel said she'd be the Mother of God? And it said, he said it'll be through the power of the Holy Spirit. And what did she say? Let it be done to me as you say. Total docility, total surrender, total submission. That's what God is waiting for in us. He will fill us to the brim, fill us to overflowing if we allow him to give to us what he wants to give to us without any doubts. It's like, you know, you give a child a gift and the child throws it on the floor. We've got to be appreciative of what God is doing. He is speaking to us. He is speaking to us. He says very clearly, I'm going to prepare the heaven of your soul by descending in your human will to empty it. Of what? Of everything that you love. Everything that is human. To purify it. Of what? For everything that is human. to get ready for the divine, to embellish it. Why? To get ready for this divine life, this abundant life, to reorder it to receive what God wants us to have, not what we want to have. I've heard so many people say, oh, God is going to do this for me, and then they plan what they want. God doesn't work like that. God says, I will give you something, then we have to be open to what God says, not our interpretation of it. That's human. It's what God is going to give to us. He says, they are prodigies unheard of, miracles unseen. This is what the divine will is all about. Our response to God is fiat. Our response is yes. So when Jesus says this to Louisa, then we say the same thing. Just Jesus, descend to the low level of my human will. Empty it. Empty my human will. Purify my human will. Embellish my human will. Reorder my human will in everything. We have to give Jesus permission to do this. So it's not just reading and go, well, that was nice. Jesus is talking to you. He's asking you to allow him to begin something beautiful. Volume 27, 12, 22, 29. In the incarnation, the three divine persons were concurring in my company, or rather, they were inseparable from me, in the addition to the celestial queen. And Our Lady herself was in the divine depository of all the goods of the incarnation. So here Jesus is showing us that this fiat of Mary brought about this incarnation, that Mary is entered into this divine unity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. See then how the company of the Creator was necessary to me in order to form my works. A creature who would place herself at my disposal in order to receive the great good that I, God, want to give her. So, do you, Louisa, want to be my second mama? So here Jesus says, basically, do you want to enter into this divine unity as Our Lady did? Are you willing to do this? Now, the Lord asks us the same thing. This is what I did with Louisa. She lives it. She is the second mama of Jesus. Do you want to love Jesus like Louisa? Do you want to love Jesus the way the Blessed Mother did? Do you want to receive the great good of renewing of my incarnation as the endowment of the kingdom of my divine fiat? That's our question. That's God questioning us. Are you willing to do this? Are you willing to do something that basically was unheard of? Still to this day, this is unheard of. What God is doing with Louisa is unheard of. We're hearing it, and Jesus is saying, do you concur with it as well? Do you agree with this as well? Do you want this as well? And there's so many people that say, you know, I possess the divine will. Baloney. This is not true. Louisa possesses it. God's offering it to us. But Louisa is the one who possesses it. In this way, I shall have two mamas. The first, who let me form the kingdom of redemption. The second, who shall let me form the kingdom of my divine will. And placing his little tiny hands on my face, caressing me, Jesus told me, my mama, maternal love surpasses all loves. So you, Louisa, shall love me with insuperable love of mother. God is asking us to the same thing. Are you willing to do this? But you see, you can't do it separate from Louisa. You can't. This is Louisa's gift. And yet Jesus is saying, I will share it with those souls right now, the first little children of the Holy Divine Will, if you wish. If you wish this, I will give this to you. So what does that mean? That means that our love for Jesus has to be so amazing, so deep, that Mary will teach us. Louisa will teach us how to love Jesus. Like he says, with a maternal love surpasses all loves. So you shall love me with insuperable love of mother. This is This is how humble our God is, that he'd be willing not only have the Blessed Mother love him, but Louisa, the firstborn, and the divine will to love him, but us also, as much as we wish, or as little as we wish. Again, you're not going to find this in any other book. It's found in the book of heaven. And Jesus says, this book of heaven will teach all of mankind how to live the life that God planned originally for Adam. What a grace, what a blessing, what a divine blessing we have by having the book of heaven. After this, Jesus kept silent, wanting to be rocked in my arms. And he said, my daughter, now you must know. This is the command from Jesus. The excess of my love, where it led me. In descending from heaven to earth, it led me into a most narrow, dark prison. That was the womb of my mama. But my love was not content with this very prison. It formed for me another jail that was my holy humanity, that jailed my divinity. The first prison lasted 9 months for me. The second prison of my holy humanity lasted for me as many as 33 years. But my love did not stop. Toward the end of the prison of my holy humanity, it formed for me the prison of the Holy Eucharist, the littlest of prisons, the little host in which it imprisoned me, humanity and divinity. And I would have content myself with being there as though dead, not letting one breath, not a movement, nor a heartbeat be heard, not for a few years, but into the consummation of centuries. So Jesus is saying that even when the divine will reigns, Jesus is going to be in the Eucharist. He's not going to stop that. Like the Old Testament. He didn't stop anything of the Old Testament. He started the New Testament. And now with the New Testament, he gives us the gospel of the kingdom. He calls it the testament of love. And what Jesus is going to do till the end of time, if you want to say, he's going to be in the Holy Eucharist. And then he says, watch what will happen when the little children of the Holy Divine will receive me in Holy Communion. Watch what will happen. Things unheard of, unseen, are going to occur. So I went from prison to prison, and there are inseparable from me. Therefore, I can be called the divine inmate, the celestial prisoner. And this is why the little children of the Holy Divine will spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, looking at Jesus in the monstrance, looking at him, being with him, not reading. Again, St. Teresa says you can read. If you can't fall in love with Jesus, find something to read and then look at Jesus and fall in love with him. You can do this by reading the Book of Heaven. Read a line and fall in love with Jesus. Read a word, fall in love with Jesus. Look at him. It's not a time for just reading. It's not a time for that. In the first two prisons, in intensity of my love, I matured the kingdom of redemption. In the third prison of the Eucharist, I am maturing the kingdom of my divine fiat. To see why we are called to be with Jesus. Being with Jesus in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Again, if you can't be in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you can find it on the internet. You know, savior.org and other websites where Jesus is present. He's actually there. You can actually bring Jesus into your own home through the internet. Adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him and blessing him and truly worshiping him, because he is our Lord, he's our Master, he's our King, he's our Savior, he's our God, he's our all. And you're not going to know the love of God without spending time with him. You're not going to know what he wants to tell you without spending time with him. So he says, I am maturing the kingdom of my divine fiat with those souls who spend time with me in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And this is why I, God, called you, Louisa, to the prison of your bed, so that together, both of us prisoners, in our solitude, bonding together, may make the good of the kingdom of my divine will mature. Now, again, this is where, this is Vine 27, this is, she's beginning her time with the sisters in the convent, the St. Anthony's convent. She's every day now. Read Vine 25, the very first day. Finally, she says, I'm with you, Jesus. Finally. She used to spend time with Jesus as a child. And when you go to see where she's being replaced, she's being put up at the Holy Spirit Chapel on the right side of the church. There's a square block there. That's what she used to kneel on. That's what Father Bucci showed us. She used to kneel there as a child, spending time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. You know, now here she is in front of Jesus. Finally. He says very, very clearly, this is what God wants for us. So he says, if a mama was necessary for... Excuse me. Sorry. Is that where I am? Let's see. Okay, thank you. This is why I called you the prison of your bed. Okay. Both prisoners together. Our solitude bonding together. See, this is what God wants. When you look at Jesus of the Blessed Sacrament, he's bonding together with you. He's with you and you are with him. To make the great good of the kingdom, my divine will mature. If a mama was necessary to me for redemption, so also do I need a mama for the kingdom of my fiat. So this is why we call Luisa little mama Luisa. She's the one. And my demanding love, wanting this mother as imprisoned so as to keep her at my disposal. Do you see, this is one of the reasons why God is reordering everything in our own life, taking things away from us. He takes everything away from us. Friends, family, neighbors, he takes everything away from us. Reputations, he takes health, he takes finances away, he takes everything away. And we have to be able to say to Jesus, as soon as something's taken away, thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. What you're doing is you're freeing me of myself. See, he wants us to be bonded together with him. So he's keeping us at his disposal. So why would he do that? So that we will have the time to read, the time to study, the time to put into practice what Jesus says in the book of heaven. This is Jesus speaking. He wants us to hear him. Therefore, he says, and this is what he says to us as well, I shall be your prisoner, not only in the little host, but also in your heart. And you shall be my dear prisoner, all intent on listening to me and on breaking the loneliness of my long imprisonment. This is why we spend time with Jesus. This line is for us. He says, you will be my dear prisoner, all intent to listening to me and breaking my loneliness of my long imprisonment. This is where Jesus is. I mean, you have to understand, when he calls us to live in the divine will, he will take everything away from us. And if we get sad, if we get worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, Jesus says, I can't use you. We have to be peaceful, joyful, and happy in all situations. No matter what happens, it's fiat. No matter how it happens, it's fiat. And we have to trust him. Again, Christian hope is certitude. We have to be certain that God is doing this for our good. But if we are upset, God just says, I can't use you. Luisa was happy to be in bed as a prisoner. She says to Jesus, you are my prisoner and you are my prisoner and I am your prisoner. Our life has to be so surrendered to God that he reigns in us. And he is in charge. And if you get something in prayer and you go, this is the way it's going to be, and it doesn't happen, you're going to get upset. When you get something in prayer, you say, let me see how you're going to do it. Don't decide from a human perspective what God wants. You have to see it from a divine perspective. You're going to be very upset when it doesn't happen the way you want it. Why? You're still in charge. God's not in charge. And this is why he says this. He says it very, very clearly. And even though we are prisoners, we shall be happy. There's no sadness with Jesus. It's always happiness. Because we shall mature the kingdom of the divine will, and then we can give it to other souls. Jesus and Mary, through Louisa, are doing this for us. Now, Jesus is doing with us what he did with Louisa so that we can give it to other people. Like I said, it might not be your family, but Jesus is in charge. It might be people in China, like I said, or India. Jesus is in charge. We have to know that he is doing this. I remember Archbishop Beccheri saying to us, not Beccheri, Cassati said to us in 1997. He said that, you're promoting the divine will in a human manner. He says, this must be done in a divine manner. What does that mean? That means Jesus has to be in charge. He has to be doing this, not us. We read, we study, we put this into practice, and we wait. God is in charge. God is in charge of this gift. He has great, great plans. He needs us to cooperate. And I'll tell you, honestly, I don't see most people being able to cooperate because why? They're in charge. God isn't. Again, how sad that is for the Lord. He wants this done. He wants this to happen. So we'll end there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.